If you ask me what I know about wine, I will tell you with confidence that there is white wine and there is red wine. Beyond that, I'm just not a wine guy. But you don't necessarily have to be a connoisseur to see that the way we sell wine in Pennsylvania is kind of weird. For years, you could only buy wine directly from the state through the Pennsylvania Liquor Control Board, or the PLCB. That arcane system is now a little bit looser than it used to be, and that's expanding the industry in our region.
Philadelphia's wine scene is just starting to really explode.
But just as that's happening, wine sales are getting even more complicated here and across the country.
The tariffs that are being proposed by the U.S. government against the EU have the potential to basically topple the wine industry.
I'm Shai Ben-Yaakov. This is The Why. Maddie Schweitzer-LeMay is a food writer for Philadelphia Magazine. So Pennsylvania has kind of a long and complicated history with alcohol sales, right?
Mm-hmm. Pennsylvania's wine laws go all the way back to the end of Prohibition. So when Prohibition ended, the governor at the time was really anti-alcohol, and he wanted to make it as difficult as possible for people to buy alcohol.
He was literally quoted as saying, you know, I want to create a system that's as inconvenient and expensive for consumers to purchase alcohol as possible.
I spoke with Jason Malumed, who co-owned a distributor called MFW Wine Co. So Pennsylvania was an alcoholic beverage control state, which means that the state had a monopoly on wine and spirit sales.
So how does the system work exactly?
So in most places, there are three tiers of the industry. There's producers or importers. So when the wine is ready to be sold, whether that means it's finished by a producer in California or it hits American ports. Then there are distributors, people like Jason who work with retailers to figure out what retailers want to sell, basically.
In other states, we work directly with our clients, our restaurants and retailers. I bring my bag of wine around. I taste them on a wine. They say, great, send me three cases. We put it on our delivery trucks, we deliver it directly to them, and then we give them 30 days to pay their bill.
In Pennsylvania, the state gets involved, so...
It starts off the same way, so I bring my bag of wine around, and the restaurant tastes it, and they say, great.
And then they have to go back through the state, so Jason sells the wine to the PLCB.
The state has a fixed markup that they then apply to the products, and then resell the product to the restaurant.
So the PLCB is really getting in the middle of this relationship and adding a fourth tier to the three-tier system that exists in the rest of the country.
So that same bottle of wine that costs $10 in New York costs restaurants in Pennsylvania $15.56, basically.
But in 2016, something changed. What happened in 2016?
Yeah. So this law had been in place for a long time, since the 30s, and... You know, we've changed a lot as a people in the 30s. People were upset about the system. It made it really hard to buy wine and liquor, crossing state lines to buy wine. So that was taking money away from the state. And so a lot of people wanted to just do away with this whole system altogether. But there was a lot of concern about the amount of money that it made for the state, as well as all the jobs, all the union jobs that it created for Pennsylvanians. So with all of those sort of tensions in mind, they created Act 39, which was kind of a compromise. So it kept the fine wine and good spirits stores, but it now allows grocery stores to sell wine and beer. And it also created the ability for restaurants to sell to-go wine, which is where you see these boutique wine shops popping up.
So now basically anybody that has a restaurant or liquor license is able to sell wine to-go.
So you see places like Vernick Wine, which just opened recently in Rittenhouse Square. Also places like Bloomsday Cafe, which is in Head House Square. Mm-hmm. And those are to-go wine operations.
So what do these bottle shops offer that the state-run, you know, fine wine and good spirits doesn't really offer?
Sandy Friedman is a really interesting example of this. She is the beverage manager for DeBruno Brothers. And at Sandy's shop, they are constantly tasting wines.
Part of how we get people to engage with us on wine in the store is to give them tastes. It's the same way we treat cheese and charcuterie.
So you can go in and try a bunch of wines and talk to Sandy, who's super smart and fun and interesting, about the wines that she sells.
So Cabernet Sauvignon, Bacchus is going to be my entry-level cab.
Okay.
Very gentle on the oak there.
Okay.
The Roto, if you're into natural wine, is a cool Chilean cab that's fermented a whole cluster, so it's going to be a little juicier and poppier.
Okay.
And then if you want kind of more classic Cabernet.
And she's super passionate about it, so it's a totally different experience from shopping in the fine wine and good spirits stores.
Where you probably aren't going to talk to anybody at all.
Right.
So we make our program special by doing the legwork, essentially, to work directly with importers, pick out wines that fill certain niches that we need or are made by producers that we have personal relationships with.
It's like the difference between buying a book on Amazon and going into an independent bookstore and having a recommendation from someone who really knows the selection.
These are small stores. Are they able to compete with the state-run liquor stores?
They're starting to compete, but there's something else that's going on that's making it really hard for these businesses to operate.
When we come back,
it would be foolish to say the business won't be impacted by this, because it wholeheartedly will be.
Supporting WHYY, Penn Medicine, helping to find new cures for cancer. With life-saving clinical trials and advanced surgical techniques, Penn Medicine is offering more hope for patients everywhere. Learn more at pennmedicine.org/cancer. Penn Medicine, what's next?
This is The Why. I'm Shai Ben-Yaakov. I'm talking to Philadelphia Magazine food writer Maddie Schweitzer-LeMay about how Pennsylvania's wine industry has been changing and encouraging new business to grow. But those businesses are now facing a big threat.
To understand what's going on, you have to go all the way to Europe, and you have to go back to the early 2000s.
Flying safer, faster, easier, greener. At Airbus Services, we
keep the EU was offering subsidies to Airbus, which is a European plane company, and the United States thought that they were unfair to our plane company, Boeing.
So they filed a case with the World Trade Organization to look into this. And then just earlier in 2019, the World Trade Organization said, yes, in fact, these subsidies by the European Union to Airbus were illegal. And you have the right to recoup $7 billion approximately per year.
And the way that the United States is trying to get that money is by placing a punitive tariff on imports, which is what they've done. So that includes a 25% tariff on non-sparkling wines under 14% from France, Germany, Spain, and Great Britain. And that went into place in October.
So under 14%, that's like most wine, right?
Yeah, it's most wine. But then last month, the United States Trade Representative released an expanded list of things under consideration for further tariffs, this time in reaction to a French tax on digital companies like Facebook and Google. And those tariffs are for up to 100%, and it includes all wine from the EU.
Mm.
American wines are great, and they didn't do the right thing. When they start taxing our companies, we tax our companies. They don't tax our companies. So France did that. I told him, I said, don't do it, because if you do it, I'm going to tax your wine, meaning tariff or tax, call it whatever you want. So yeah, we're working on that right now.
So these bottle shops that we've been talking about in Philadelphia are concerned about this tariff, I assume because it's going to increase prices?
Yeah, especially in Pennsylvania, where wine prices are already way higher than in neighboring states because of the state markup that we have. A lot of places had wine stockpiled for the holidays, so they didn't have to worry about the tariff yet, but they're starting to have to put the wines that were subject to the first tariff on the shelf. And people are trying really hard not to pass the cost onto consumers too much. So they're spreading it out between distributors and retailers so people are able to keep buying wine. For example, Sandy Friedman from the DuBruno Brothers says that it's different, you know, for every shop. But for them, like a $27 bottle of wine is only going up about $1.50 for the customer.
We are starting to see it. And we're lucky that we haven't had to see a big increase to customers yet. But it will be coming if the rest goes through.
People are really worried about the next round of tariffs, this tariff that could be up to 100%, because the 25% is difficult. It's not great, but it's small enough that along the line of distribution, every level has sort of absorbed a little bit of it. But 100% tariff is it's an existential threat to the wine industry in Pennsylvania and also across the country, because it's just too much for them to absorb, and it's going to drive prices so much higher that a lot of distribution companies are going to have to stop importing these types of wines.
In all seriousness, it would be absolutely devastating. Trump wrote the book called The Art of the Deal. That's kind of what he's trying to do here. He's trying to get them to come to the negotiating table. Unfortunately for us, you know, he's probably going to put me out of business because of it. An illegal subsidy is also an illegal subsidy. It's certainly within their right to tariff whatever they want.
So, if this tariff is on European wines, would this maybe just help locally produced wines? Could it help domestic wines?
It's not really that simple, because the distribution networks for wine in the United States are really interconnected with European wines. For example, distributors like Jason have built their whole businesses around European wines. So a higher tariff is likely to put a lot of these distributors out of business altogether.
If suddenly we're no longer able to operate our business because our revenues have been cut because we can no longer import European wine, now all the domestic producers that we represent no longer have a distribution option. They can't sell their wines.
And that will hurt the wine industry as a whole, because it will make it harder for places like the De Bruyne Brothers to offer wines from the rest of that collection of wines that Jason has spent years and years creating.
So, I don't drink a ton of wine. I'm not that concerned about the price going up for myself. Mm-hmm. For other people who are in the same boat as me, why should we care?
There's a couple of reasons why I think it really matters whether or not you're interested in wine. First of all, these small boutique shops like De Bruyne Brothers, like Bloomsday Cafe, they have really tried to build a business around this, and it's going to affect their ability to curate the types of wines that they want to have, which is what makes that experience really fun and worth it for the consumer.
The fact that the smaller companies that we try and support as we're making selections for our set could just up and disappear is terrifying. We will look at where we can cut costs, where we can find efficiencies to still be able to give people the products that they've come to love at as fair of a price as we're able. But it would be foolish to say the business won't be impacted by this, because it wholeheartedly will be.
There's also the fact that these distribution networks, like Jason's company, for them, European wine is a really important part of their portfolio. It's going to affect their ability to do business. So they're going to have to lay off salespeople and office people. So it's going to hit Pennsylvania really hard, because we already have such high markups on our wine. But it's going to get rid of jobs across the United States. And France isn't really going to be affected, because there's a huge market for their wine in other countries.
I thought that the French producers would be up rioting about it, but they're like, oh no, we're just going to sell our wine to, Asia.
The wine is in demand. So Europe isn't really worried about this, but American distributors and even winemakers are really concerned about this, because these distribution networks are really intertwined with European wine.
Thank you, Maddie.
Yeah, thanks for having me.
Maddie Schweitzer-LeMay is a food writer for Philadelphia Magazine. The Why is produced by me, Shai Ben Yaakov, along with Annette John Hall, Alex Stern, and Kelsey Hansen, with editorial direction from Katie Culinary. Are you spitting out your wine in outrage about this wine situation? Tell me about it on Twitter. I'm @Shai Ben Yaakov. I'm going to go have a drink. See you tomorrow.